Data is the new religion. It's an incredibly valuable resource, but it can be a big distraction if you're not careful. Today's guest, Ivan Belaya, he's going to help us tread the best path between not enough data and too much data. Hi, my name is Andy Rice. I'm just back from Alicante, Spain. I'm back in the UK. And Hamish Wilcox, you are somewhere on the other side of the world. On your cruising boat, where are you exactly, Hamish?
Yeah, we've just come back from up north. We're now currently in Kawau Island, which is about 25 miles north of Auckland, heading back to Auckland again. And it's reality in a few days' time with dry land life back on the agenda.
Excellent. Well, I'm looking to find out what you think about data, because you've been at both ends of the spectrum, the low-tech seat of the pants and the highest of high tech with the America's Cup. So we'll find out your views on that in a moment. But without further ado, let's invite our expert for the evening, Ivan Belaya. So Ivan, great to have you. What have you been up to today?
Hey, hello and hi to everybody. It's an honor to be here. It's very nice to be invited. I'm currently in Lanzarote with the Austrian sailing team. This is our winter base, as is also winter base for many international teams. And, you know, we find it here perfect sunshine, good breeze every day, enjoying every single day of it. And yeah, today I was on the water with the for 70 teams, had another beautiful day out there.
Excellent. Well, the reason why we've got you here is you've got some pretty impressive software that you've put together over the years, and you put it together for very personal reasons, because you knew exactly what you wanted. But before we get into that, that's going to be the bigger part of the call later on. But let's get a bit of context first. Just tell us a bit about you. Where are you from? How did you get into sailing? And how did you end up at the Olympic Games?
Yeah, well, I come from Croatia. I was born in Split in Croatia, one of the famous sailing cities, I would say, with a lot of strong names coming from there at this point. And yeah, I started to sail, I think I was 6 years old in the Optimist, following my brothers who also went into the sailing. No family background in sailing, but luckily back then in Yugoslavia, everybody could just go to the sailing club and get a boat and go out. So it was really, really nice that we started it and that you didn't have to invest anything to be able to get it going. And yeah, I sailed the Optimist after I moved to the 470 class with my older brother. And, you know, back in time, no coach, very low low budget, very hard to make everything, put everything together. Well, we trained hard and managed to qualify for the Sydney Olympic Games in 470. After this, we still continued to sail, but somehow we were always limited with the support we were getting. And then the time came for me to realize that, you know, the future, the ability to win is not there. You know, I just couldn't see it coming and decided to go coaching quite early. I think I was something like 23, 24 years old when I started to coach. And I coached the Croatian teams first in 470 class. And we went to the Athens Olympics. I was coaching the 470 team there. And after these games, we had another team in 470 who was a bit too heavy. So we decided to try to move them on to the 49er class, which was very new in Croatia. First time this kind of boat came, and we were going through a lot of things to even manage to handle the boat. It was quite interesting times back then. But, you know, against all the expectations, the team, just after 2 years of sailing, managed to qualify for the Beijing Games. And they participated at the Beijing Games, and they continued on to London and Rio, also the same team. So they got pretty good in the class. They were doing medal races, top results. And after the Beijing Games, I started working with the Austrian Sailing Federation. First, a little bit with the 470s, and then moving also with the 49ers. And then with the Austrian 49ers, I did the London, Rio, and the Tokyo Games. So London and Rio with one team, and the Tokyo with another team. The best we did was in London, the fourth place. So was very, very close to the medal. They had a bronze medal in their pocket for two laps of three in the medal race. So it was quite tough times to just lose it in the very last lap of the Olympic Games. But, you know, hard times pass. And, you know, at the end, we all realize that we are really blessed that we are doing these things we are doing. And you just move on and keep on going. And yeah, so at this point, I'm still coaching the Austrian 49ers. And since I started to be involved more in using the data analysis and I created the software I'm using, I'm getting much more involved in actually using the software. So I moved a little bit to all the classes and I'm trying to help out all the teams with logging data and analyzing it up. So.
Okay. And we've seen a proliferation of data and technology in the 20 or so years since you competed at the Sydney Games. What drew you to wanting to get further into the data? Did you go looking for it, or did it find you? And what was the first technology that you used to help analyze performance?
Yeah. Well, since I was a kid, I always liked the technology. It was always something I was quite involved with. Starting with the very, very old computers back then, I always wanted to do a little bit of coding, try to see how I can actually create some pieces of software. And already back in 2006, we started to use the first GPS trackers for our boats. And I was thinking that it would be very useful to, you know, look into this data, see how we advanced, see what was actually happening out there. But back then, you know, the biggest limitation was that we only had a big house computers where you can look at it. So the only place to look at your data was at home. You know, you could not go traveling and bring your computer with you. And then somewhere in 2010, 11, when the smartphones appeared, I just realized this is the perfect platform. You know, it's a small computer which you have in your pocket. You know, and you can bring it everywhere, and it's a perfect platform that you can use to actually see your data every day. Yeah. And already back then, I started to play with designing some kind of small software which helped me and helped my sailors. And then slowly, as pandemic came, as we were getting the hardware to log more things, I decided to try to create my own app for analyzing the sailing logs. And I started to do this somewhere 2018, 19. And, you know, gave it a lot of work into it, and now I think it became something which is pretty useful for the sailors.
Okay, now it would be useful if you watching could just drop into the chat box what kind of boat or board or anything else that you're sailing and you're campaigning, because I think pretty much whatever kind of sail or wind powered craft you put in the chat box, Ivan probably has some experience and something to show you. So we've got ISO and Blaze. Here we go. Windsurfer class, J70. Good so far. And so, Ivan, this is giving us pretty open season to go where we want. Do you want to introduce us to SailViewer? There's a lot to get into. I don't think we're going to be able to scratch the surface of what SailViewer can do. But just maybe before we do the first demo, just give us a sense of the most useful things that people find when they first start using SailViewer.
Yeah, sure. Well, I think that what is important to know is that it's the tool that I was first creating for myself. You know, so I was really never thinking about some commercial value or how to get more people to use it. It's something that I created as a tool which helped me analyze the data from the water. And as we all know, that after the day on the water, you come ashore, you come ashore with the videos, you come tired after the whole day out there. And you know, you don't have a lot of energy left into you to dig deep into the data and to spend a lot of hours trying to find some sense in there. And so I really wanted to create something which will help you to get the answers in the shortest time possible. So my goal was to, you know, reduce all unnecessary steps to make everything go as quick as possible, as easy as possible, and that you really get somehow, you know, slapped in your face with the data you have, that you immediately realize the key points and know what to focus on, not to waste too much time on something which is not important. So this is the background behind the app. And, you know, actually trying to make something so simple, it's quite hard, you know. It's easy to make something which should be huge and big and full of features, and at the end ends up being hard to use. So it was the most difficult part was to make it possible for anybody to actually use it and to learn it quickly and to be able to analyze your own data by yourself. This is the ground of the app. And yeah, when people started to use other people, they really liked it from the first moment on. And, you know, this is where we are now. It's, you know, getting more popular.
Okay, well, why don't you share your screen and talk us through the first demo of what you want to show us. I think we've pretty much seen most kind of craft. There's a couple I can think of. We haven't seen people drop their type of boat or board into the chat box, but go with whatever you want, and we'll try and deal with some of the other ones at the other end of the spectrum further down the call.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's the app can be used on any kind of a sailing boat. So from the kite foilers to Optimist to 49ers keelboats. And I believe that every class has its own story and has its own points on which you should focus, you know. So I think app is quite open for people who know more about the class to actually realize what are the things which are important in your class, and then you can actually apply it for your own boat. So I can share the screen now and just show you how everything looks.
Great.
Yeah. All right. So this is the first screen of the app. And, you know, you have on the right side, you have your logs, which you import. You can import the logs from all kinds of devices. So, you know, from Sailmon, Vaccaros, Velocitech. You can track yourself with your smart watches. You can use the smartphone apps, which are tracking, and everything goes into the app. So whichever file type exists, also from some big names in the big boats, everything can go in. And you are able to see all the data that you log. So whatever you measure on the water, like a load from with the load cells, for example, Cyclops Marine, I also can load in. Anything can go in. So
tell us what we see on the screen. On the map, why do we see a map of the world?
What's the map on? Of the world is just there. So as you are scrolling your logs, it just shows you where they were made. You know, so it's quite easier to, you know, find where were your logs made. So we can see the ones which are at the screen at this point were at the Canaries in Portugal and in Croatia. So it's easier to, you know, just scroll yourself to the place that you want to have a look at. You also see the dates which are selected on the top of the screen. So it's quite easy and simple to, you know, to find the logs you want to look into. So as we can see now in the middle of the screen, I have one race of the 49er class from three boats, and they all have different colors. And, you know, just to open the log, you just click on it and the log is open. And I add new ones just by selecting them too. So now I have
Ivan, just let me interrupt you. We're just going to come out of Facebook now. So if you're watching this in Facebook, you can carry on and with us as long as you're in Zoom. So just checking out of Facebook, but we're carrying on. So hope to see you back here in Zoom very soon. Sorry, Ivan, you pick up again.
No worries. So once you open your logs, you get presented by a few screens, and, you know, each of these screens helps you in a different way to analyze your data. And you have two sliders which you use to move through your data. So the one slider is the time slider, which, you know, when you move it, you are selecting the time period you are interested in. So everything moves quite nice, smooth and quickly. And the other slider is the wind slider, which you use to select the wind direction. The nice thing about the wind is that the wind gets selected automatically if you want it. So by just pressing a button, the app will, based on your track, try to get the wind direction that was actually there. And this works pretty well because there are many points of sailing during your session. And by using all of them, it quite accurately tells you the wind direction. What is nice about that is that, for example, you can just quickly select your first upwind, check the wind direction. You can select your second upwind, check the wind direction. You can easily track the wind shifts during the day. So you can always get the suggested wind directions from the app for your selection, for a selected period. And, you know, in this way, you can get a good sense about what was going on out there and a good numbers of the actual wind direction. So this is the wind slider. So every time you move the time slider, the numbers which are shown are for that time period. So the average numbers for that time period. And now starting from the first screen, which is showing you your GPS track, you can always just, you know, make everything bigger, larger, easier to see. In this screen, you see the tracks of the boats. You see the losses in the maneuvers, so the VMG loss that you got in your maneuver, so it's in meters of upwind distance. And you can see the distances between the boats at the beginning and at the end of the selection. So you can always see who was actually gaining and who was losing some distance. So this is the GPS track screen. So then next to it, we have the screen which is showing us the average numbers of the values that we measured. So, okay, here we measured the heel only on two boats out of three. So some boats are missing some values.
Just talk us down. So value at the top, we've got sail numbers there. So we've got Austria, Switzerland and Croatia. And then just talk us down, even though some of them might be obvious, just talk us down distance and time.
Yeah, so the distance is the distance sailed. So it means how many meters you sail, which means if you were sailing against the shifts, you would probably be making more meters. Or if you were, you know, going into the fast mode, you definitely make more meters than the boat who is just going for the height. Second part is the time of the selection. So the sailing time, which at this point I have 16 minutes of sailing selected. The next one is the upwind distance made. So basically, you know, if you focus on one segment of your race, the upwind distance more or less shows who was performing better. So who made more meters into the wind, which is exactly the same value as the VMG. So the more upwind meters you make, the better VMG you had, which is at the end, you know, the holy grail of the sailing is just having a better VMG or doing more upwind meters or downwind meters on a downwind, because this is what defines who actually wins at the end of the game. Then we have a amount of maneuvers in the selection, and we have the meters lost in these maneuvers. So at this point, they all had only one in this selection. We have the average speed over ground. We have the average VMG, and we have the average angle to the wind. So it's always the angle to the wind that we define by moving the wind slider or by letting the app select the wind from our tracks. And then the rest of the value can be any other value that you were logging. So depending on which device you use, if the device is having the accelerometer and is logging your heel and pitch, you can put the heel and the pitch in there. If you are measuring the loads on your shrouds or anything else, you can put everything in there. So it gives you the average value of anything that you measure. If you have a smartwatch with a heart rate monitor, you can have the heart rate in there. So, you know, whatever you bring into the app will show you the number for the selected period. So this is this table with the numbers. I think, you know, since we are quite limited with the time, I need much more time to show you all the features of the app. So I will just move quickly on to the next screen, which is the polar graph screen. And polar graph screen shows you all the points of your sailing for the selected time period. So if I zoom out back to the whole race, the distance from the center of this screen is the speed. So you see there is a 10 knots circle, there is a 20 knot circle, and wind is always coming from the top. And then the dots are just plotted in the angle and in the speed that you were just having in any point of your sailing. So if we have a little bit better look into this dots, what hits us quite clearly is that, for example, at the bottom, we can see that the blue boat was always the fastest one on a downwind. So it quite clearly shows you some things which were, you know, which don't belong somewhere, which are different. Another thing which I would notice straight on is the a bunch of the red dots in the upper left corner, which are somehow looking quite odd. You know, they don't belong to the rest of the dots. So it's something which, you know, catches your attention quite quickly, and you want to see, okay, what was happening here? Why is it like this? You know, and then if you look at this, if you move the slider to see these red dots, for example, just disappearing and then reappearing again, so to see where it actually happens, we can see on the left screen again on our path screen that they actually appear when the red boat goes quite far over the ley line. So, you know, the red boat was going fast, but quite lower at some point of the upwind. And this is pretty strange. And you can immediately realize that this is what was happening. The nice thing about this polar screen is that the higher up the screen you are on the upwind, the better your VMG is. So it's quite clear that these red dots are not the optimum VMG for the upwind because they are lower on the screen than the green dots, for example, which means that the red dots was clearly losing some meters while sailing in this direction. Where this comes quite handy is, for example, with the boats which have more modes. So if you have boats which can foil or just go high and not foil, like, I don't know, Nakra 17, you would get two groups of dots on the upwind. And just by visualizing which group of dots is higher on the screen, you can realize if it paid to go foiling and go fast, or it was better to go slow and higher. I think this can be used in a lot of asymmetric boats on the downwinds, you know, when you have to select your mode. In the same way, you know, the lower your points are on the screen on the downwind, the better your VMG is. So you can easily just find the differences between the modes, and, you know, by using this screen quite quickly, you get, you know, your attention gets drawn to some things which don't look like they belong to the rest of it.
What would you say how did the three teams respond to seeing this data? What do you think they took away? If we look at Austria, Switzerland, and Croatia, what are the broad lessons for each of them?
Yeah, well, the first thing was that quite often I realized quite often that sailors actually don't realize when they are losing. And quite often they lose a lot of meters in a very short period. And first, they don't see it, you know, they are quite involved in what they are doing. And they can for sure not put a quantity on the loss because they don't know how many meters they lose when they are just about ready to set the kite or to take or jibe around the mark. For sure, they cannot visualize in meters how expensive some mistake was. And so, for example, by using the app, by using the another screen, this graph screen and the distance to leader screen value, for example, we realized quickly that the red boat, by going over the ley line, was losing more than 40 meters of upwind distance. So, you know, you fight your whole upwind to gain a boat length or two to the other boats, and then you drop 40 meters of upwind distance just by going over the ley line completely unforced to do it. And the funny thing was that even from the coach boat, I didn't realize this because I was in the left corner of the race area. So I could not see the depth of how far they went before they tacked around the mark. And they also didn't realize because they were in a quite good position. So they could not compare themselves to somebody who was actually on the ley line because there was nobody in front. So both of us missed this quite a big loss just because you don't realize everything what happens there. And this is where I think the power of the app is that it shows you absolutely everything. You know, you can see the whole race, you can see every single moment, and you can realize where you were actually gaining or losing, which by, you know, being in your boat, working with your lines, looking at your sails, or driving a coach boat full speed over the waves, you don't see these things. So it helps you out quite a lot to actually see through the whole race.
So Ivan, let's come out of this screen and come back to our talking heads again, and let's address some of the questions that people have come in with, and just deal with some of those questions that we're getting in the chat box, and then let's maybe move on to another example. We'll come back to iPhone compatibility in a moment. We'll talk about that later. But Tim Herzog, you're a busy guy with the questions. Nice to see you on the call, Tim. So can you get the time and wind sliders to move synchronously?
I think it's quite fast and simple. You move the time sliders to select the time you're interested in, and by just one, you just press once onto the button to fix the wind direction, and the wind direction is just there. So I think there can be an option that the wind slider follows the time slider, but I would rather leave it to the user to decide when to set the suggested wind direction, or you know, just when to. You can also set it manually, or you can even leave it a bit wrong if you think that the app is not suggesting you the right direction.
Okay. How complicated is the upload process?
To import importing the files is very simple. This is one of the things which I really wanted to simplify, because nobody wants to waste the time with how to transfer the files from the water into the app. So you just easily import it into the app by using one button and taking it from your tablet or device, or from any other app on which you receive your logs. You can use, you know, this share option that all the smartphones have. And by using the share option, you share it directly into the SailViewer app, and you have your login. So it's pretty straightforward. It's pretty fast. And, you know, you open up at the end, you get the full day log, and cutting it into the pieces, selecting the pieces and creating a new logs of a single race, of a single lineup, of a single upwind, is extremely fast. You know, so you just select the time period, click save, and you can, you know, you can give it a new name, for example, race one or first tuning run or whatever you want. And you immediately have these new logs cut in the way you want them. So going from the full day, full spaghetti on the screen, you get into very nice data chunks that you just open and close when you want them.
We're getting a lot of questions here, which I fully welcome. What I'm thinking is that we maybe address these afterwards with a responsive Q&As, because I don't want to get too caught up in specific details. So I'm going to change tack on that one, but it doesn't mean we're ignoring you. Before we look at the next example, Hamish, I want to ask, when we're looking at the marginal gains, which is the difference between winning a medal or not, my impression of your campaign with Pete Velling and Blair Tuke is that you tended to leave the technical end of the sport pretty well alone, and you were still mostly sailing by seat of the pants, and you were observing mostly by eye. Would that be a fair assessment? And if so, how is it that you managed to achieve so much by that very simple approach?
Yeah, well, you know, in saying that, it's probably correct. But I also, you know, I'm looking, technology is something that really fascinates me. I'm not very good at it. And so I think I'd be a great case for a really simple version that Ivan's suggesting. You know, the real problem is time with any campaign, and if you how you manage that time. And if I had known at the stage we were doing the campaign that there would be something that was really time friendly in order to log a lot of stuff, then it would be something I'd be really interested in doing. You know, the real guts of the problem is that there's only one of me and you've got a lot to cover. And if you start to, you know, we initiated in the last campaign video guy, because we understood, you know, how much time that involves, just getting the video and then getting it cut and getting it into a format you can use at a debrief. And that was a huge benefit. But, you know, when you're going with just one coach, one person on the boat, there's only a limited amount of things you can tackle. And I think at the time we were you know, we were really just, there wasn't anything in front of us that we could use, like Ivan's put in front of us here.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that goes right to the core of what you're talking about, Ivan. It's got to be user friendly and it's got to be simple. There's not enough hours in the day, and that's what you're trying to address here. I see the numbers keep on going up during the call. If you're enjoying this and you know of anybody else that you think would be enjoying this, please let them know, and at least they can join the final 30 minutes of this call. We've actually got a special offer that we want to make to you at the end of this, which I think you're going to find very interesting. If you're already engaged by this, Ivan is prepared to make a very generous offer to a select few Road to Goldsters. So we'll deal with that in the end. This is a one big experiment, really, isn't it, Ivan, this call? It's exciting for us, and I think it's exciting for you. And I don't know if you're able to say who, but I think I can say on your behalf that one of the national federations has done a big deal with you in the last 24 hours to provide SailViewer to all its leading athletes. I'll let you fill in any details on that if you're able to.
Yeah, well, I already have a few of stronger names using the app from the very beginning, actually, when it was still full of bugs and problems. For example, the British NACRA team and the 49er team, and also the famous Santi Lange, who is actually my first paying customer. He's using the app and he absolutely loves it. And just now recently, I get to make a deal with the Swedish team, who are interested in using it with their all full Olympic classes. So it just recently happened. And I get a lot of interest. Somehow I think the word started to spread because I was really so much into just designing it and making it that I was not pushing into any kind of marketing. But it looks like the word's been spreading around, and I get a lot of contacts also from other teams, federations about the app. So you know, at the moment, I'm having a hard time to handle all this. So I have some quite good names who are willing to use it, quite some strong names who have seen it already, the demo, and they really liked it. So yeah, we see how it goes from there.
Well, Magnus has just said in the chat box, yes. So I'm assuming, I'm going to run with that. And I'm assuming that's Magnus Gravare, who heads up the Swedish team. And Magnus, thank you for joining the call, and thank you for being a big supporter of Road to Gold and promoting it to your sailors, and now doing the same for what Ivan is doing with SailViewer. So I'm delighted to see that you are promoting it to everyone in the Swedish Olympic team. So thank you very much for that. Now I'm going to get a bit brave with this one. Let's see if someone wants to put their hand up, have a specific question. But you've got to be able to come in on the call and have a conversation with Ivan about a specific problem. And let's see if Ivan has got an example or a way of addressing your problem. So if you've got a particular type of boat or board and a particular issue, I mean, heel angle, for example, I find really interesting, Ivan. I think we all think that we're sailing the boat flat when we're maybe sailing at 5 or 10 degrees heel to leeward. And I've watched the 470 European and World Championships in the last few months, and I still, at the top end, see boats that are not being sailed that flat at times. Maybe it doesn't matter that much. Maybe it does. But that heel angle thing, Hamish in the 49er, it seems to be critical, doesn't it? That constancy of heel angle is a pretty critical measure, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, my experience with even 470 and 49er is there's certain times when you want, you know, the boat absolutely flat or even a little bit cocked to windward. You know, it was one of our strengths in the 470 way back in the 80s that we could probably sail the boat, you know, a little bit cocked to windward at times. And make massive gains. But there are other times when, you know, if you've got a certain wave state, you can imagine if the boat's flat and, you know, you've got that you know, that gunwale, if you like, coming off the bow, it almost starts to become like an optimist bow if you heel it, if you bring it flat or cock it to windward, and you're just getting every wave slamming into it. And, And that's why you'll see even the top guys, there's a mode where it's better to be with a slight leeward heel and aft trim, you know, bringing the bow higher and just sort of touching the waves rather than, you know, allowing the waves to come in under that bow section and slow you down. So there are definitely different modes for different wave states, and the good guys know exactly when to deploy each one and how to adjust the boat completely to rebalance it with those different heel angles.
Right, interesting. Okay, so not quite as straightforward as just aiming to sail the boat flat all the time. I'm getting a few more questions in there, but not really what I was looking for. So I'm going to run, Ivan, you choose where you're going to take us next.
Yeah, I mean, just to make a small addition to what Hamish just said, I believe it's not just the heel angle which matters. It's about how much the angle moves. You know? And this is one of the key points between the top sailors and the other ones, is that the top sailors can keep their boats super stable, and which in most of the times is the key point of going fast. And the ability of this app is also to actually tell you the amount of travel that the heel has during your sailing. And, you know, reducing the amount of travel is a big goal for everyone. So you can actually compare your performances. You can compare your heel travel to somebody else's. And, you know, you can find out where you are. And I think until you come to the point of a stability which is acceptable for your class, probably you are not going to be fast, you know. So it's something that for sure, one of the things that the app helps you sort out. Another thing is this perception. So as I already said, you don't see everything on the water. But I think sometimes the things you see different than other people. And I think there is always this big fight between coaches and the sailors about what is flat boat. This is always being discussed. When somebody thinks it's flat, somebody else thinks it's not. So it's something where the app and the data helps you to actually say, okay, at this point, the boat was really flat or it was heeled to one or to the other side.
Yeah, absolutely. And it reminds me of what Paul Brotherton said on one of our Q&A calls a year or so back. That was partly why he developed TrueSail, and you work closely with Paul Brotherton as well, that difference in opinion from outside the boat to what it feels like in the boat. Now, continue to get interesting questions. Keep on asking them. We definitely won't be able to address all of them within this call. But Benny, hosting this call, just confirmed to me that I think we get a Zoom spits out all the questions at the end, right? We keep that chat box so we can address these questions afterwards. Thank you. And Ivan, take us to our next example and tell us what you want to show us and why.
Okay, so I come back to the just share the screen just a second. Right. Okay, so we are back. Into the app, and it's, for example, if we start talking about a heel or anything else, we want sometimes to quickly select which area of our sailing we are interested in. So, you know, if you have a even full day log of sailing, and you want to know, okay, what was my heel today in the upwinds? There is a very, very powerful feature which is the filters, where you can actually filter the data out. And I don't know, for example, in the 49er, I know if you sail your proper upwinds, your VMG is somewhere higher than 5 knots of speed. No. When you do anything else, when you're waiting, when you are maneuvering, when you're going down anywhere else, your VMG will never be more than 5 knots. So by just filtering the data out, just by selecting the upwind legs and making a filter that just calculates the points where my VMG was more than, for example, five knots, I can easily and quickly select just the clean points of my upwind sailing. So if I just do this, as you can see now on the path, on the track, you can only see the filter data, and all the other data is in the background. So you know exactly which points are taken. Then further on, you can filter only port or only starboard. You can take off the maneuvers so they don't count in. So there's plenty of option of how to quickly select the data you're interested in. And now all the numbers we have here are just for this filter part. So for example, we can see that the heel of the red boat is 2.8 degrees to leeward. What the app does also is, you know, it moves heeling to the left and heeling to the right into the windward and leeward based on the wind direction. So it, you know, saves you the time to actually think about what was left heel, right heel, which is what the devices measure, and converts it straight into the windward leeward. So it, you know, gives you the answers quick. So this is, for example, one of the examples of how to filter out the data and how to get the quick answers about what you are interested in. For example, the funny thing is for the kite foilers, the VMG on the upwind you have to filter is that it's higher than 15 knots of VMG. So you can imagine how fast these guys are going. So this is one of the ways to use the app. Another thing which I find quite powerful is, I will just get out of the filters now for a moment, is you can, between all the values, you can select the value which is called distance to the leader. So this is something which shows you clearly your performance compared to the performance of the other boats. Yeah. So wherever your distance to leader is getting bigger, it's the place you are losing meters. And when it's getting, when it's going up, this is the place that you are gaining meters. So for example, now if you look at the graph, at the very end, we can see quite a huge climb or reducing in distance to leader between the green and the blue boat and the red one. And we can easily see that this is more than 40 meters of upwind distance. And this is just because the red one was going over the ley line. So we can quickly get the actual number of what happened over there. Yeah. So this is it's a very, very powerful value, which I really like and I use a lot. Another thing which I also created, because quite often you sail alone around the course and you have nobody else to compare with. I have created a value which actually measures you to your own performance, which is called distance to yourself. So if you use this one, it shows you the distance between you in this leg and the boat, which would start with you and arrive with you at the top mark. But this boat will go always at the constant VMG. So it shows you actually wherever you are gaining to yourself, you're sailing above your average VMG. And when you are losing to yourself, you're sailing under your average VMG. So at the end of every leg, you start and end with zero. And in between, it shows you the gain and loss to yourself. And if you look at the graph of it for the red boat now, for example, and we just focus on the first upwind, we can see that at the very end, it goes for more than 40 meters of advantage to the average to zero at the end, which just, you know, again, shows the red boat that they were losing more than 40 meters just in the very, very last of the upwind leg. So this is just some of the features the app has. You can filter out the data that it shows you these points where you are sailing above your VMG, average VMG, and below your VMG. You can filter out the data which show you where you are better than everybody else at that point. So it's a lot of features which we just will have not time to go through today. You know, you can put in the start line and get all the data about your start line. So there's a lot of things there to see, but it's just, I think the time frame here, we are just too short on time to go through everything.
Yes, absolutely. But you've just brought up an interesting point there that whilst a lot of people at the Olympic level are in training squads and training groups and they've got comparative data, what you've just said here is probably of interest to people that are sailing at an amateur level, maybe aren't in a training group. You can still get a value by trying to race against your personal best effectively. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I for sure, you can come up with the numbers that you want to beat on every other day. And the numbers can be from the speed and or VMG. They can go towards reducing the heel travel, for example, or trying to get your target heel, which you think it's the best. And, you know, if you're lucky enough to get the data from the best guys, you will know maybe what the target speed is for a certain conditions. Again, for sure, I will point out always the negative things about it is that there is no single day which is the same as the day before. So even if the wind is the same, we still don't know what the current is doing, if the wave is a bit different. So all these numbers that you create for yourself, your targets, you take them with a grain of salt, just a little bit. There is always a small play around it. But I think there are very, very nice values to start with. And I think they can still help you a lot to develop, even if you are sailing on your own.
Let's come out of shared screen again. Now, Ivan, I think that's a really important point. I think at the top level, you're measuring marginal gains, but I can still see that this data could be motivational at a lower level. So even if it's not super accurate, as we know with Strava and cycling, for example, that having a number to aim for is still motivating, isn't it?
Yeah, I think this is something that, you know, everybody can follow. Everybody can try to get better every day. I think there are classes and boats in which for sure you will see the improvement in your speed because it's not so marginal. So I think definitely by changing some of your techniques and the way you do it, you will be able to track your progress at the end.
Daniela, you've got an interesting question. I wonder if we can get you in to ask the question directly. It's always nice to get you on the call if you're able to do so. So if you can come in, that would be great. Let's see if we can get Daniela Morales in.
All right, can you hear me now?
Yes, hear you now. Hi, Daniela, nice to see you.
Awesome, hi. Yeah, Happy New Year, guys. Yeah, so super interesting. I saw the email for this and I saw the screenshot, and the first thing that like really popped out at me was the polar circle, because that's a big thing I'm trying to work on a little bit this year. But my question is, Ivan, I'm really curious about how you prioritize your time in training sessions. And I know I struggle with this, and I say this all the time, like Andy has heard me say this before, but I think it's really easy to get lost in the data. And I'm curious, like, how you ask the questions or how you kind of phrase any questions you might have to actually finding the answers that you're looking for in the data. So let's say you go out for a training session and now you're analyzing some of the data. How do you figure out what exactly you want to be looking at and where like your answers might lie or where you might be able to draw conclusions? If
yeah,
that makes sense.
It's a very, very good question. And I think the power of this app is that it's you who was on the water who is doing the work after you or your coach who was actually there. So you're not giving your data to somebody who doesn't know the context about the day. And I always say on certain days you can come ashore and you can say, okay, today was full, crazy, shifty, impossible day to get anything meaningful. And maybe you will not even look into the data. Yeah. And then on the other days, you know, when it's all about the boat speed, you will get more into trying to take a look at the, you know, real numbers, speed numbers, heel numbers, whatever makes you go faster or slower. When it's a racing day, you can always try to find quickly the major points where you were gaining or losing, you know, what was making you go faster or slower. Or you can take a look at the start line and see actually how much you were behind somebody else or behind the on the wrong side of the line. So I always say this is the power of the app. You connect your day on the water to what you actually try to see after. So you will be much better in asking yourself these good questions than somebody else who actually has no idea and just gets the data, the raw data, and have no idea what was actually happening over there. So based on the day, I would always focus on just a few things, which I think they are key moments and key points, and stick to them. Otherwise, you start digging into too hard and then, you know, it's a never ending story. You can look into one day of logs and you can, I think, probably spend all night looking into it and trying to find some meaning in everything. So you should focus on what you think was the key point. You should try to see if something hits you straight in the face from the app and focus on these things.
Daniela, what's one thing that you technically that you would like to really understand better in the world of top end kite foiling?
Right now, so something that I would like to understand better is polars, actually, for different kite sizes. So for example, right now, let's say I ride so for kites, we register four different sizes for an event, and usually it's 9, 11, 15, and either a 21 or 23. And so let's say I ride my 15 in conditions from like around 13 to 18 knots. And then I need to switch to my 11 when I'm at about 18 and a half to 23 knots. So seeing like at what points in those wind ranges I might be losing out on VMG. And then based on that, that kind of helps you figure out where to spend more of your time. So let's say if I had like an abnormally slow VMG on at the low end of the 15 meter. So let's say in like 14 knots when I'm riding the 15, then I know like, okay, I need to spend more time underpowered on my 15 because that's where I'm losing out on VMG. So things like that is the polars I think would be interesting.
Ivan, you mentioned polars earlier. Obviously, that's well-known currency in keel boating. It would be incredibly valuable data, for example, let's say to know how Burling and Chook went round the track in the 49 and to use those as the benchmark numbers. Do such things exist in the dinghy world and in the kiting world, to your knowledge?
Well, I've never seen somebody coming up with the full polar data, and I think one of the reasons is that we are really speaking about such marginal differences that they are hard to catch on a single day because you cannot put the wind direction and strength exactly right. You know what you have at the point, and you cannot define your own target for the day. Then again, there can be a little bit of current going one or the other way, which will affect these numbers. So this is why I believe that in a high performance dinghies, you know, the difference between the first guy and the fifth guy and the tenth guy is, I don't know, 0.1 maybe knot of speed, and this is quite difficult to actually catch and to create a polar, but it can help a lot somebody who is still quite behind, and I think also even by looking at the tracking from the past regattas of Pete and Blair, I think we could see their upwind speeds, and I think quite often you can see that you are under, and then you know you cannot be happy until you get there. So for sure this helps. And regarding the kite foiling, I think, you know, I've never seen people as stressed as the kite foilers are to decide which kit to take on the water. You know, this is big big question every day, and you can easily make a mistake and, you know, ruin your day completely. So I believe, I didn't do it, I have no much experience with those, but I believe that you can create a database of, you know, finding these overlaps and finding what works better at which conditions, both upwind and downwind, so that you can actually at the end have easier time to select your kit for the day.
Yeah. Hamish, I find this polar thing quite interesting. Again, as we have to treat it with a grain of salt if we're looking to use it as a really accurate measure. But coming back to the principles of Road to Gold and not going traveling and spending huge amounts of money racing internationally until you know that you're pretty competitive on the race course, this could be useful for emerging nations and for teams that are struggling for funding and for cash, that there's no point in them traveling overseas and spending lots of money until they're achieving, say, 80 or 90% or probably more of the sort of the typical number. So even if you've got a broad measure, it'd be pretty useful, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Ivan's, you know, highlighted a couple of things that stand out to me, and that, you know, the heel angle measure was one thing. You know, that until you can sail a boat with a fixed heel angle, you know, and you know what that, as that does change, you know, given wave state, but just fixing it and then balancing the boat around that heel angle and not having, you know, is one really, really good example of what you can do at home. And, you know, you need to be able to achieve, I don't know, you know, a really big number on that before it's worthwhile moving, you know, moving to an international regatta and getting smacked, you know, speed wise. So there's a whole lot of things that drop out of this. You know, the another thing that Ivan mentioned was, you know, having a look back, and I've often thought this with more and more tracking at regattas, having a look back at what the best they're achieving, and then making sure that you can get somewhere near those numbers as well.
Yeah. Great. Thank you, Hamish. We're beginning to run out of time. We got a message that we want to get across at the end. Well, we want to ask you a big question, actually. But L. Anstey on question about keelboat. I'm thinking, El Anstey, is that you, Louise? I dread to think because you might not even have the right sex, but is El Anstey in the room? And do you want to ask your question? And I'm going to start asking it anyway because it's an interesting one, Ivan. We've talked a lot about trying to keep boats upright, dinghies, in other words. How relevant is this kind of technology for keelboats?
Yeah, I can see a lot of usage of it in the keelboats. Even more so because in the keelboats, it's not, you don't want to keep your boat flat. You know, there is a certain angle where you want to have your boat. And I mean, I was just recently at the Melges 24 Nationals, and the people there allowed me to track all the boats. And there was a clear difference in the heel angle between the best guys and the guys in the back. And I think everybody learned something. It was very nice from everybody to join into this experiment. And this kind of helped the fleet to get more compact, you know, to get the back guys forward and, you know, to get better racing at the end. And nobody gets easy to beat anymore. And then the whole level gets better and everybody's happier racing this kind of regattas where everybody has a chance to win a race. So I believe in the keelboat. It really plays I think the same role as in everywhere else. It's fully useful, and you get your answers very quickly. I was tracking a lot of boats in this championship. Coming ashore, I was even sailing, and then within 2 hours, I would have a report ready for everyone to share. And people were coming for a kind of a debrief, and they were quite excited and happy about the data that was presented to them from the pure geometry of where they sailed during the race, where they actually were losing and gaining meters, to this technical side of healing angle and healing travel, which was at the end quite interesting.
Great. All right. Well, we're just a couple of minutes to go. Let's get to the big offer, Ivan. So Ivan is generously offering to make Sail Viewer free to a number of Road to Goldsters. So he's going to waive the subscription. Just tell us what the usual amount is, Ivan, so that people understand.
Yeah, so subscription is based on a single tablet, so on a single device where a Sail Viewer app is installed. So it can track as many boats as you want. It can be shared between the coaches and the teams, this device. And the annual subscription for it is €1,000. And I allow everybody interested in using the app to use it for 2 months for free. So this is something that I don't want the people to buy into it and not to use it, because just I don't think this is the way it should be. So everybody should get enough time to see if it's for them or not. Because, you know, I know people who would like to use it, but they cannot even unlock the screen on the tablet because they're just not that good in the technology. And I understand that not everybody can use it in a way that they will like it. So I always offer 2 months off. And I think for our, let's say, for people who will get into this program, they will get the full year of free subscription if they follow our guidelines. So if they will be providing us with the feedback and, you know, maybe some tasks that they will get to do from us, and then we see how it goes.
Right. And are there any upper or lower limits on sailing ability? In other words, are we making this offer only to Olympic level sailors or to sailors that race at the weekend as well? Let's be clear about that.
Well, I think it should be opened up to everybody. And I believe that people should come with a kind of an idea of where they want to use it, with how many boats, what they will want to achieve. And then I think we can select some of those stories which are the most interesting ones to follow, and we can then start with them.
Great. Okay. So what we're going to do is hopefully, if you're watching, you're already on the Road to Gold email list, and you'll know that if you had notification of this Q&A. If you're on this call and you're not on our list, then go to roadtogold.net or go to our Facebook page and message us and then make sure that you're on that, so that when we send that email out, you're aware of it. And basically, it's going to be an application process. It's not going to be difficult. It's just Ivan wants to get a spread and a range of people who are really keen to try this out. And really the only requirement from our side is that you're prepared to come back on a future Q&A call and tell us what you found. So if you're going to play your cards close to your chest and not share your findings, you're probably not going to qualify. So if you're prepared to ask and share, which is the whole ethos of the Road to Gold principles anyway, then you'd be very welcome to join this call. But Ivan will be the final decision maker as to who gets it. So maybe it'll be six-time world champion in the kite surfing, Daniela Moroz, or maybe it will be somebody else who's only been racing for a year or so. We'll find out. And Daniela, she uses Salmon. That's a great bit of equipment, but it does cost a few hundred euros. Ivan, there is a proviso here. People do need to bring their own measuring equipment, but what's the cheapest and most cost-effective way in to be able to use Salvia?
Yeah, well, I would agree with you. I think the Salmon and the Vaccaros and these kind of special devices are just beautiful. You know, they are really full state-of-the-art products. But for all the others who, you know, just cannot even afford to buy into them, I have created another app for the Android phones, which is basically logging the GPS data and the heel and the pitch data. And this app is there for free. And, you know, the Android phones, they come pretty cheap. I am using, by myself, I'm using some rugged, waterproof Chinese brand phones, which come just a little bit more than 100 euros, and they survive everything, and they are fully reliable. I'm using those because, you know, it's just impossible. If you have 5 or 10 boats, it's very hard to afford to get the Salmon for everyone. So app can read all of these devices, everything from there. It can also read the smartwatch, fitness trackers from the smartwatches if you export the file from them. So, you know, it's open up for everybody. All of these different data can be mixed into the same session. So you can always look into it. Of course, I think the heel travel and some things which are connected to the accelerometers, you need to take care that the different devices might come with the different numbers. But I would say the actual heel angle and the GPS data is over there, and it's always okay to fully look into it.
Okay. And is this offer open to Hamish and Team Luna Rossa aiming for the next America's Cup?
Yeah. Well, we have to think about it. I think, for sure it's open. If he comes with a good reason why they would be the one to get it, then they will get it. They have to queue with everybody else.
Yeah. I'll help you craft a good application for that, Hamish. We'll see if we can get a free sub for Luna Rossa for the next America's Cup. Any final thoughts from you, Hamish?
No, I think it was really enlightening. Ivan, thanks so much for coming on. I wish we'd been able to get hold of this kind of app a few years ago, but it's great that it's there now, and I can't wait to use it.
Excellent. More questions coming in. We will address all of these. Great to see some of our original Road to Goldsters from when we launched more than 2 years ago on the call. So nice to see some old names and faces here. Thanks for all your questions. Nice to see you, Daniela, on the call as well. From Hamish Wilcox, from myself, Andy Rice, we thank you, Ivan, and we look forward to catching up with you again. I'll see you in Lanzarote very soon as well, Ivan. So I'll see you then.
Yeah. Thank you for inviting me again, and for sure we will see you again.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Bye for now.